This episode of the Golf Gambling Podcast on the Sports Gambling Podcast Network is presented by WynnBET. WynnBET is now live in Arizona, Colorado, Indiana, Louisiana, Massachusetts, Michigan, New Jersey, New York, Tennessee, and Virginia for boosted same-game parlays. To live in-game odds, WynnBET has what you need to win. You bet $100, you get $100 at WynnBET.com or download the WynnBET app and start winning today. State restrictions do apply. And we're also brought to you by the DGEN Dance. Our March Madness Bankroll Contest is back, free to enter, and $1,000 in cash and prizes up for grabs. Plus, we've got our first half under bingo. Enter both contests on the SGPN app. All right, DGens, welcome back for the Valspar Championship DFS show. It's your boy, Boston Capper, with the God of Golf himself, Steve Shermer. Steve, you feel better about this tournament than I do, so yay.
I do. I mean, it's at least better than the Honda a couple weeks ago.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know if it's just so irritated about Scotty last weekend or what. Like, I'm just not there yet. It's Monday. It was a long day, but yeah, man. I need you to get me excited about this
piece of shit. I don't like this Debbie Downer attitude of yours right now. All right. So first of all, you need to get an outright win. And you need a good week in DraftKings or DFS, and you are going to be high stepping into match play.
Yeah, that's actually what I'm excited for.
Okay.
Match play.
I mean, would you be opposed if they took a bye week this week?
No, absolutely not. We need more bye weeks.
We do.
We need more bye weeks.
We'll talk about the schedule a little later. We're going to say that to the end of the show. We haven't given a comment about it. We'll talk about DFS first.
But. And you told me today Liv is playing this week. I didn't even know Liv was fucking playing this week. I didn't even know.
Yeah, so last time we covered the Liv event, because it was Mayakoba, we've seen Mayakoba. I'm just going to be perfectly honest. They are playing at Dub Mountain, where they played the WGC match play in 2007-2008. I know Henrik Stenson did well there. I know Paul Casey did well there. If I was going to make picks, those are probably my picks, but that was over 15 years ago. And honestly, the fact that I didn't even remember that Liv was happening,
that's a bad sign.
Kind of says all you need to know.
That's awesome.
Yeah, exactly. So, but back to the Valspar.
Yeah.
So why don't we start with the weather?
Yeah.
Because this is probably going to be a big story. So, you're in Florida. It rained all day, and it rained all day in Tampa. Yep. It's going to be, but the wind is up for most of the week, so it could theoretically dry out the golf course without raining. The problem is it's going to rain a little bit on Wednesday. On Thursday, it's probably, there's some moderate winds. Nice sunshine, though, so maybe the golf course kind of, firms up a little bit. And then Friday, very heavy winds. I would expect that to be a very, very tricky day. Doesn't really seem like there's a wave advantage either. It's right at 8 a.m., 17 to 25 miles per hour. It's going to stay consistently throughout that through the day. And then Saturday, it's going to rain buckets again. Now, earlier in the week, I thought it was going to be a complete washout. It looked like it was going to be an inch and a half of rain. Maybe only about a quarter inch now. That's something they can actually play through, but there's wind. It's going to be a difficult day. And then Sunday, wind early, dying down through the day, but it's still pretty moderate. So it's also going to be cold over the weekend or on Sunday. It's going to be 55 degrees. So you know what this tournament makes me think of? TPC Potomac last year, Wells Fargo.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. Kind of similar golf courses too. You got, it's not the longest golf course out there, but pretty narrow, gnarly, like ryegrass rough. Winning score, I think it's 7-8 under. You look at some of the guys at the top of that leaderboard, Max Homa, Keegan Bradley, Rory, Matthew Fitzpatrick, Fitzpatrick, Homa, and Keegan have all been really good at Valspar. There was actually a couple of guys looking at that tournament that I remember did very well that week. I don't know if it's going to be a complete bomber fest like it was here, because TPC Potomac is very driver heavy. This takes it out of your hands, but it seems like I have a little bit of a short game. It seems like the golf course is going to play a little longer, definitely a lot softer, it seems like. The winds is going to be up. It's going to be very difficult. And, some of the guys I kind of target are a little bit of a mix of guys who are usually good at Valspar and some other positional plotter golf courses, and kind of referencing back to that tournament, kind of thinking of, okay, who kind of did well that week and can they do it again?
Yeah, I like it.
Okay. All right. What did you look at this week?
Yeah. So I thought with the rain, like you said, I think it's going to play longer. I just wonder if we're going to do the lift clean and play shit. I focused in on those par threes. want to make sure that the guys are good on the par threes. Really, it's just like with DFS, it's like, all right, let's take a look at ownership. And it's funny, like where all the ownership is fucking congregating. It seems like everybody, like a good chunk of people are just skipping the 10K range. But yeah, I mean, I looked at par three scoring from 175 to 225, weighted around the green more, thinking these guys are going to miss it a lot. Didn't factor in putting whatsoever. I'll just go off memory off of that shit. And then approach play. I mean, that's the biggest thing for me this week. I weighted that pretty heavily.
So yesterday, last night, you said that you don't really ever want to be on a guy who can't putt.
Yeah, correct.
And now you're going to ignore putting.
Yeah, well, that's different, right? For an outright versus DFS, right? So for an outright, like I'm very upset on every putt. You know what I mean? Like it's different. Yes, and it's not that I'm ignoring putting. Like I'll look at it, and like in my brain, I know who's a good putter and who's not. You know what I mean? On the guys who I'm going to play, not some of these fucking bums in the $7,000 range, but I'll have to look into it on that. But yeah, man, some of this pricing is pretty funny. I'm interested to see what you have to say on a couple of guys.
Okay. All right. I mean, I got a bunch of names. This is a better field, I think, than you might give it credit for. I actually like a lot of this field. So.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, I guess I do too. I think I'm just a little fucking fatigued out right now.
Oh. Well, you know what? Hey, look, okay. We got this week. We only got two shows next week. So you're going to get a little bit of a break.
Yeah.
Then we got Valero and we got Masters, RBC Heritage. And then we're going to take the Zurich off. So you know what? You got a little bit of a break coming up on the horizon there.
They're going to keep the fucking Zurich, but get rid of the fucking match play. Good call, PGA. Good fuck.
Hey, listen, people need their entrance music with the guys doing awkward dancing to the first tee. That tournament is the nut low. I can't stand that thing. And the fact that they give not just one, but two guys the opportunity to secure their PGA Tour card with a win there, PGA Tour card. And full FedEx Cup points is a joke. But that's
how Palmer is. That's how Palmer got it back in the day.
Yes,
right?
He did. Yeah. Because of John Rahm. John Rahm saved his career. And then that's where this is a John Rahm course. Got to be a Ryan Palmer. That's exactly where that came up. So, all right. Why don't we take a quick break? And then why don't we start breaking down the DFS tiers?
All right. Well, listen, WynnBET is the official online sportsbook of the Sports Gaming Podcast Network. WynnBET is now active in Massachusetts and a ton of other states. Be on the lookout for the WynnBET Win Hour each Thursday from 5 to 6 p.m. Eastern Time during the WynnBET Win Hour marquee games of the week. We'll have better odds on WynnBET, giving you a larger payout opportunity. And March Madness is here. So many ways to bet on the big dance. Sign up today to receive a special offer. Bet $100 to get $100. It is limited to state availability. Of course, for our DGens only, if you hit the biggest long shot parlay of the week, you can also get $1,000 free credit. And there's so much to choose from. All you have to do is head over to winbet.com or download the WynnBET app. Offer is subject to change. Terms and conditions at winbet.com. Must be 21 or older and present in the state where playthrough WynnBET is available. If you or somebody know has a gambling problem, call 1-800-522-4700. And the March Madness is back, baby. We get the D-Gen Dance, our March Madness bankroll contest. Feel free to enter, and it's free to enter, and it's $1,000 in cash and prizes up for grabs. Plus, we've got our first half under bingo where you can win an SGPN gift card, and both contests are free to enter and on the SGPN app.
Okay. All right, $10,000 range. So obviously, this is very early in the week, but we have a little bit of ownership. We can kind of start breaking out where kind of guys are. And actually, I mean, we both look at different stuff. There's obviously different sites that calculate different ownership. But what I'm looking at right now seems like Justin Thomas and Spieth are uber popular.
Yep.
Which I'm not surprised about Spieth because he's been hitting the ball good and he's actually had some decent form. Like, you know, top 10 at Bay Hill, top 10 at Phoenix. Hit the ball okay last week. Just had, honestly, if it really wasn't for Friday, I think he would have had a much better finish and been in the mix. But
yeah.
And obviously a former winner here.
Yeah.
The Thomas ownership, I'm surprised at because it just seems like I would think there's fatigue on him at this point. So the fact that people are going back to him, I guess, one more time is surprising to me because I was going to make a case for a low-owned JT this week for a couple of reasons.
But he's just popping all the models because his tee to green numbers are so good. He's still hitting his irons good. He just couldn't putt. He's got a good course history here. I didn't think we were going to get a discount on JT.
All right. I mean, that makes perfect sense because you think about a Paul Casey, he's won here twice.
Yeah.
Just tee to green monster, can't putt. Although, actually, weirdly, one year he was actually, I think, like on a heater with his putter, and then finally it all like came together right. in this place. Right. But regardless, the general profile, just a guy who can't putt, just a great tee to green. Plus, tough weather conditions from the standpoint that you're not going to have, you're gonna have to grind out a lot of pars. Now, here's my question, though. So we've gone back and forth about if Justin Thomas is a house cat or an alley cat.
Yeah.
And it seems like lately he's been a little more alley cat because of a lot of the wind. But here's the thing, though. Does the alley cat like to get wet?
I don't know.
Probably because I remember one very prominent example of when the alley cat got wet and lost his mind. And that was the 2021 Masters on Amen Corner. And he took a 7 in contention. It rained.
Oh,
and then
God.
He didn't know what
How
happened.
How did I forget about that? How did I fucking forget?
Because I think you had a bet on JT, and I think you were very upset at what happened.
I did. Oh, my God, dude. You just brought back so many awful memories.
That's what I'm here for, to bring back past trauma of golfers, ghosts of failed golf outrights past.
Oh, my God. I can't believe I fucking forgot about that. What happened to him?
Apparently, he couldn't handle the fact that the greens got slower. They got softer. Like, I think that's when the house cat label, at least from my standpoint, got put there. It was either that or when he blew it at Riviera. Look, all jokes aside, it is going to be crappy weather. The irons have been, I mean, look, they haven't been outstanding, but they've been good. Off the tee has been really good. Around the green has been great. It's just the putter's cold. So, and he's been really good, not just here, but you'll get some other comp courses like, for example, TPC Sawgrass, there's been a lot of guys who've done really well at TPC Southwind, and here he's won there. He's won Honda. So obviously good Florida history. Remember the Zozo at Sherwood? That's kind of somewhere very narrow. You're not hitting a whole lot of driver there, positional. You know, he finished third. That's another, I think you had Rom that week and I had GT, and then Cantlay actually stole
from us. Cantlay came and stole our money.
Yeah, there's another ghost of a failed golf outright past for you there. So, I mean, look, like obviously it's Justin Thomas. He can be great, but the fact that it's going to be tougher wind conditions or, just overall tougher scoring conditions. I mean, if you want to start where you live there, there's going to be plenty of opportunities to pivot.
Yeah.
So, I mean, going with even though it's a little dicey with how bad he's been playing, but going with a popular Justin Thomas, I mean, it's whatever it is, what it is.
Yeah, I don't hate it. I talked to Cameron this morning. Like, I'd much rather play him in DFS than betting, because if I'm not betting fucking Scotty and Rahm at anywhere between 8 and 11 to 1, I'm certainly not fucking betting JT 11 to 1. Like, if I'm betting anyone 11 to 1, it's going to be Scotty or Rahm. Like, it's not going to be fucking JT. So, much better. I wonder if that's maybe why a lot of people play him too. They're not going to bet him outright because the number's so short. So they want to get exposure to him because of all the things we talked about. And that's why he's getting it. But you're right. Yeah, there's plenty of places to pivot down below. And I mean, Spieth is almost as popular. So, yeah, I mean, I'm fine with it. I think if I'm getting anybody above 10, it's him. Like, I'm not buying into Burns three-peating. And I still think something's wrong with Fitzpatrick. I don't care what he did with the API. There's something wrong there.
Yeah, I mean, we've mentioned on the show a couple times that maybe with the speed training, it's messed up his game. I mean, he had the injury too, so it's possibly not healthy. I guess for me is we did just see him play relatively well at Bay Hill.
Yeah.
And he missed the cut in the number last week. Now, it was all around the green and putting. I have at least seen a decent iron performance out of him recently, and he's not getting any ownership.
None. Yeah, he's
and he has been, he's got the fifth place here. I mentioned TPC Potomac last year. He's got a second place finish there. I mean, good at TPC Southwind, good at other Florida golf courses, or like a harbor town, that's a golf course that's tree line, tight, narrow, takes the driver out of your hand. So the difference, though, is that back then he was in form, and now he's not. So, it is concerning that he has been really poor with the irons, and it's kind of like what happened with Bryson. Like, if you look at his data golf, profile now, like the amount of yards, like distance he's gaining off the tee is kind of insane now compared to where he was like a year ago or 2 years ago. So, I'm worried about the fact that he's just been so focused on gaining distance that kind of like what happened with Bryson, you neglect the irons.
Yeah.
And it just kind of goes to crap.
Bryson was so bad with those fucking short wedges too. It made no fucking sense. No sense.
So what are, I guess, case for Fitzpatrick though, if it is going to be really tough ball striking conditions and not a lot of guys are going to be hitting greens. I mean, he's still scrambling well and still putting well. So
yeah.
Like, I know a guy, like we'll talk about a little later, like a Steven Yeager that's worked for these places, or a Mackenzie Hughes that has worked. That profile has worked at these types of tournaments. So if Fitzpatrick can be kind of like a rich man's Hughes this week.
what an insult to a fucking major winner. A rich man's Hughes.
I mean, that's kind of what we're dealing with right now. I mean, it's a long hitting.
Oh, no, don't get me wrong. I appreciate
right now. Whose ball striking is terrible, but you know, he just gets up and down from everywhere. And if that's what it's going to be this week, which based on this weather forecast, it's going to be so windy.
Yeah.
I could end up seeing, like, I haven't decided who my FOMO bet of the week is. I could end up seeing, like, positional, like, type thing on Fitzpatrick. Because I'm not betting him outright on my card. I don't, like, if he got to a two and he drifted, maybe I would consider. But, you know, he's still 16, 18 to one. But for DFS purposes, he's getting a lot of low ownership. I think there's a lot of pathways for Fitzpatrick to do well this week, even if the irons have not been very good.
Yeah, I don't hate it, but that's going to be his nickname moving forward. Rich man's use. That's what I'm calling Fitzy from that on.
Okay. All right, you want to move to the 9,000 hour range?
Yeah.
Where's ownership right now? Where are you?
I was going to say it's all like it's everywhere you think. So Fleetwood, Rose, Keegan, Hadwin is the most owned, but only by a couple percentage more. Everybody's playing Suh, and is it Suh or Sue?
Justin Suh.
So, okay.
Yeah, so he's $8,900, but yeah, we can include him in this because he's popular.
Yeah. So I wasn't really paying attention to where his price point was at. So I mean, those are your guys, right? Adam Hadwin, he'll be pressing to be the highest owned golfer on the fucking slate. And I mean, we talked about him first thing in the morning this morning. So there's a reason why, right? Look good at the players, good Florida history, good course history here, ball striking really well, approach numbers are good, round the green's good, there's a reason. But yeah, I don't know. I don't know if you can play the most popular Adam Hadwin. Like, I don't know if that's like Keegan last week. Like, I knew it was doomed as soon as we went on the mothership and fucking they both had him in his lineup. I was like, oh fuck, he's screwed. You know what I mean? It's like one of those things where I always equate it to like when the cash here at Publix asks you about Bitcoin, it's jump the shark. You know what I mean? So like that's kind of how I approach some of the ownership stuff with DFS. But yeah, those are the big guys, right? Everybody who they just saw last week, trying to catch flop flag with Keegan, who dashed our hopes with that fucking water ball to Burns 2 years ago. Yeah, man. I mean, it was pretty predictable. Like Rose, I thought might sneak by a little bit, but not with his ball striking numbers, not with these models. Like he's gonna pop at everybody's fun.
Right. I mean, I guess. All right. So out of Fleetwood, Rose, Keegan, and Hadwin, I guess who do you prefer? Is it Hadwin?
No, just because he's gonna be the highest owned player on the slate.
I mean, just of the chalky options, I guess who do you like best?
Man, I liked Rose off the jump. Like that's why, like I even texted you like Sunday or Monday early. Yeah, Sunday. I was like, I wonder what Rose's number's gonna be, right? Just because I saw what he did. But Tommy, man, like if he's clubbing down, bad weather, rain. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think I might like Fleetwood the best.
Yeah, I mean, if you want to talk about like, I mean, we mentioned with Justin Thomas, the tee to green number has been really good. The putter has been great. I mean, that's basically Tommy Fleetwood right now.
Yeah.
Especially like his around the green stuff is really good. Like I bet I've had money on Fleetwood the last couple weeks.
Yep.
He has gotten up and down from some pretty bad spots.
You did swear him off on Friday, I believe.
I did, and then he rallied on Saturday morning. Had a great day. Apparently, he stole Colin Morikawa's talent that day, and you know that's what he had. And then and he's like, "Oh, I'm Tommy Fleetwood," and then he faded. But he did play better though. I mean, like if it wasn't for the water ball on 17, he's got a top 20 finish, and so he's T27 there.
Yep.
Clubbing down, I like that. Obviously, really good at. I mean, I think it's a 16th place finish here. You know, good in Florida, good at Florida. Plotter golf courses. You know, good at like TBC, a Southwind, a place like that. Like also like good at, I think he has a 7-play finish at, Accordia, where they play the Zozo over in Japan. That's really tight, narrow. Like even though it's 7,000 yards long, it's a little longer than what I give it credit for. That also has kind of bad weather over there too when they play it. So that fits the bill for this. I like Fleetwood this week. With Rose, I mean, I get it. Obviously really good. I guess, and maybe this is just narrative street, but okay. It seems like at this point he won Pebble and they basically took 2 weeks off at that point, just checked out. And then he played really good at Players. He's got the Masters coming up. He's got to be feeling pretty good about his chances there. And I'm going to guess, I don't think he's going to play Match Play next week because he usually skips it. I think he might just check out here. I think he's
Doesn't he how many elevated events can they skip?
This isn't elevated. Oh, and he's not part of the PIP anyways. It's only the top 20 that has to like do that. So there's it's the guys. Okay. I think it's the guys last year that were in the top 20. They have to play a certain amount of events this year in order to keep that bonus. And then I think they're going to reset it next year. So he's not part of that crowd.
Okay.
But I think he's got to feel good about the Masters and the fact that he just completely no-showed. And I think Phoenix or Riviera, where he's been good, and Bay Hill, where he's been good, and just no-showed. Slight concern about that at this point.
Yeah.
So I don't know if I really want to go with a chalky Rose when that's definitely in play. I think I'd rather go Fleetwood at that point.
No.
Keegan has a little bit of stink on him. I actually was going to go back to Keegan before somebody picked him in the industry, but listen, he played. Remember on Thursday, he played good.
Oh yeah, I remember.
Yeah, and listen, it's golf. You just wake up sometimes and you just don't have it. And it was a really bad weather day. And we talked about last week at Sawgrass. We don't have your A game or B plus game. It's going to turn to a D quickly. And that's what happened with him.
But didn't you hear everything about his game was so good? He didn't have to worry about anything.
That's true.
I am never taking another golfer who says that ever. Like if I hear any quotes like that, no, thank you. I'll pass.
Yeah.
Because the golf gods were like, oh, everything's working, is it? Oh.
You know, maybe he has a little bit of seeds of doubt in his head, and maybe he's going to go sign with Liv now.
Fuck off, dude.
All right.
I'm already crabby.
All right. All right. So, and then, I mean, listen, I like Hadwin. I'm getting Chris Kirk vibes off of him from Honda. Kind of like, good. Okay, like, is this really like chalk Hadwin? Like, are we really going to do this? I mean, Chris Kirk was chalk at Honda.
Oh, my God. Yeah. Yeah.
Like kind of, you know, he's one of the PGA Tour four. He's been playing well this year, been in the mix. Did you know that over the last 2 years, Adam Hadwin has been within five of the lead, going to the final round 8 times?
Damn.
That is the second highest rate in this field. It's actually more than Justin Thomas, to be honest.
Yeah. So what's he close? One of those?
No, he hasn't.
Hadwin?
He hasn't, but he's been
there. Hadwin hasn't closed anything?
No, he hasn't won.
When was the last time he won?
He won in 2017. He's only won, I think, once.
Oh, my God. It's a bit, I felt like it was a couple years ago.
But that's also the profile of guys been winning these types of things. Like, no, all right,
that's true.
They won Chris before. Kirk? They're playing good, like a Chris Kirk or Justin Rose, like guy who's not in his prime anymore, but he's got some win equity to him, playing good.
Yeah.
So I think Hadwin might end up building, you know, limited ownership. So, okay, let's talk about some of the guys who are not popular then. Danny McCarthy, yes or no?
Yeah.
Yes?
Yeah, man, I'm a never Denny guy too, but what's funny is like he, for whatever reason, I think I was talking about him this morning. My whole day is fucking run together. I was talking about him this morning, like he jumped out at me. Like before I even looked at anything, I was like, I bet you Denny McCarthy's going to do really well here. And it might be just for my affinity of, like, I'm sick of betting guys who can't fucking putt. And when I looked at the field, I was like, I'm probably going to have somebody on Denny McCarthy at some point because I want to be confident that the guy is going to make the 5-footer, right? Not fucking want to throw my phone against the wall.
Okay. I think I'm out on McCarthy.
Why?
I just don't think he can repeat the TD Green numbers from last week.
So let's take a look. I mean, he looked good at the Genesis too, right?
He lost TD Green there.
Yeah.
Cut a Honda, cut a Phoenix.
Yeah, but AT&T Pebble gained tee to green. Yeah,
I mean that's Pebble is okay. That's kind of a McCarthy course.
He did all of a sudden over 6 putting, ridiculous. I mean,
Listen, go play him if you want. I don't think I'm really. Like, I know he's got some good finishes here. I just, when I think about Valspar and looking at who's like in those top tens, I'm not really feeling like the Denny McCarthy blueprint this week, I guess.
Yeah, these last two times have been ho-hum. Made the cut, like T48.
Okay. So. All right, Brian Harmon, in and out, in or out.
Fuck no. No, he's a dick anyway. Oh, well, we didn't talk about
there
that. Fucking show. So Tommy, for those
who,
of you
who is, who is Tommy?
Thank you. I was just about to do it. For those of you who don't listen or are new to the show, Tommy's my one of my best friends, and he was a volunteer, and he was on number two fairway. And apparently Brian Harmon is the biggest dick to these volunteers. I kept sending them to Steve the screenshots. He'd like take the flag they put down and like chuck it in the woods. He told people to shut the fuck up. And like, he was just angry all the time. And listen, Tommy is a big man. It takes a lot for him to get like irritated and angry and for him not to like you. And he is the least big Harmon fan now. So Harmon, Now in the dick, just like who's the prick that went to live that I always used to rail against because he was mean.
Brandon
and Tommy.
Grace.
Brandon Grace. Yeah.
Yes.
Exactly. Fuck him. Same category. Anyway. Yeah. Fuck him. I mean, he's way too short. Well, like, I feel like, did he do good? What we were just talking about with Keegan and fucking Fitz. He did
Epitomic?
Do good, though, didn't he?
You keep talking about him, and I think
for some reason he showed up at the U.S. Open. Like he was somewhere where he shouldn't have fucking competed at.
T9 at Potomac.
Yeah. See, I remembered that. And it's like, he shouldn't have done well there based on his profile, right? But he did.
He did do well. And that was kind of a little bit out of nowhere, too. He played T35 at Heritage, cut at the Masters. And you know what? I could see myself. Maybe
what did he do with the players? He
made the cut, but it's
I just want to see what he did though.
So I guess that's my concern about him is off the tee he was hitting a lot of fairways.
Yeah,
that's great. The iron numbers were junk around the green. He's also been really bad lately, and that's I think that's a concern for mine.
Yeah, he lost 2.5 strokes on approach.
Yeah, so I don't love that. How about Davis Riley in or out?
Probably more of a DFS play than a bet. His number's a little short. I think it's like 35. He's just so squirrely off the tee. It makes me nervous. And I don't know what he does when he clubs down. Like, I'm not going to pretend like I know what he does when he clubs down. He's just so squirrely off the tee. And I don't even know if that, let me pull it up. It might just be that I think I had money on him what was that tournament where he was leading and he just fucking nuked it off the fucking planet?
Colonial.
And I was like, bye-bye. Like, that's the end of you. Yeah, he's been okay off the tee. So maybe it's just scar tissue in my brain.
It's definitely scar tissue. I was going to say that, you know, the doctor's been saying, where on the doll did he touch you? Because it definitely was. And actually, someone mentioned in Discord, I think it was Cameron, actually, that you just irrationally hate Davis Riley. Every time I bring him up, he's so squirrely off the tee. Check that off your bingo card, ladies and gentlemen. But he's actually been driving it a little better lately. We just mentioned Colonial. He was pretty good there. I mean, Sam Burns won Colonial. He won here. So if you want to do a little bit of a crossover comp there, it works. Really good at Memorial last year, too. That's another place you can't really, you know, spray it everywhere. That's got a lot of thick rough around the green, too.
Yeah.
So I think of McCarthy, Harmon, and Riley. I think I like Riley the best of that three.
Yeah. You're probably right. You're probably right. What's funny is like back in the day, I never would have taken a second to pause and see if that was just in my brain and go look at the stats. I would have just been like, no, he's bad off the tee.
Yeah, and then you would have argued with me for 10 minutes about it. And then exactly. I would have pulled up the stats and you still would argue with me.
Yeah, exactly.
Exactly. You have matured a lot on this show. I'm very proud of you.
Thanks, buddy.
Yeah. All right, you want to take a break and then we'll break down the rest of the tiers?
Yeah, let's do it. Okay. We're also brought to you guys by Underdog Fantasy. Underdog Fantasy is heating up for March Madness. College Pick'em is a great way to get in the action, especially if your bracket is busted after day one. Plus, Underdog Fantasy has your favorite college basketball player props. Head over to UnderdogFantasy.com. Use promo code SGPN for 100% deposit bonus up to $100. That's UnderdogFantasy.com, promo code SGPN.
Okay, now let's talk about Piper Golf Balls, too. So, like I mentioned at the top of the show, there is a Nor'easter coming. And going to delay the start of my golf season a little further. So that means it's more time for me to prepare when I get back out on the golf course. And one of the things we're going to be doing, I got to restock my golf balls. But you know, look, like I'm a mid handicapper and I know the Pro V1s, they usually, you know, do pretty well for people, but they're really expensive. But I can't maximize the benefit of a Pro V1 as a mid handicapper. So instead, I'm going to opt to pay for a little less for a golf ball, but use a golf ball that works just as well. That's Piper golf balls. You know, all their golf balls, you know, they stand up to all the big boys, your TaylorMade's and Pro V1s, especially their gold line of golf balls. That is a four-piece urethane golf ball, has a little higher spin, especially around the greens too. And that's how I'm going to lower my scores is that, let's say I can go into the driving range. I can hit driver, iron, try and, you know, basically be Colin Morikawa out there. And then when I get out to the course, I usually act like Colin Morikawa, especially when it's really windy conditions. But, you know, with it, what's really going to help me though, is the fact that I can have a lot more control around the green. That's going to lower my score. So, so if you want to actually improve too, not spend a whole lot of money, go to piper.golf/GGP and you'll get a 10% off for your first order using promo code GGP. You can also opt to subscribe and receive scheduled shipments of golf balls at a 50% discount and you get free shipping on any orders over $50. So go to piper.golf/GGP and improve your game.
Philip has just lost the respect of the youth league football team he coaches. He was asked what New England should do in the draft, and his answer was objectively terrible. The Athletic just wrote a great article about this. But Philip doesn't have the Athletic or the respect of a boisterous group of 11-year-olds who once looked up to him. Learn from Philip's error, get the Athletic, and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
Today.
Yeah. So do you ever watch the My Golf Spy thing?
I go to their articles sometimes.
So they had, I was scrolling on Twitter before here, and they just put a new golf ball up and they cut those golf balls open.
Yeah.
And they were all fucking different colors and different weights and shit. Like, oh my God, like what a nightmare. Like, how come the ball did that?
Yeah, you got to be a little careful sometimes. But I mean, yeah. These Piper golf balls are really well reviewed. You know, they hold up just to all the other golf balls.
So. You know what I noticed too is they don't, like, so I play with the TaylorMade, Tour 360 balls most of the time. And, but they fucking ding and scratch real fucking easy. Mm-hmm. And, the Pipers didn't, the gold ones did not. Like I hit a tree and it didn't really scuff. So I was like, hell yeah, let's go.
That's good. I mean, you're going to save money that way too. The fact they're very durable.
Yeah, absolutely. Okay,
very good. So, all right. $8,000 range. So ownership right now, it looks like, I mean, obviously you mentioned, I guess, why don't we start with this?
Okay.
Of all the shiny new toys, do you prefer the new Mattel Justin Suh?
Uh-huh, uh-huh.
Or do you want to go with Mr. Potato Head Ben Griffin as far as the toy you want to play with this week?
So, I mean, just based on my construction so far, when I've been dicking around, I haven't been able to get to Suh. Okay. But I would probably prefer Saw just based on the pedigree and the fact that Ben Griffin did what I did for a while for like 3 months. That doesn't instill confidence.
That cuts a little too close to home, I guess, for you.
Yeah. I'm like, wait a second. I just could imagine like some guy like sending his resume into me to like be a loan officer for me and being like, he's a PGA golfer and he wants to be a fucking loan officer. Like, how broken are you mentally? You know what I mean? Like, I don't know. It was a cool story, but I think Suh's pedigree puts him as the toy that you probably want to back.
I think I agree. I mean, I mentioned last week that he's figured it out. He looked great this week. Like, a lot of times too, when I thought that he was gonna, like, all right, he made that bogey, this is gonna start the bogey train,
right,
he would bounce back pretty quickly.
Nope.
You know, and like,
T6 ain't no joke at the Players, man.
I know. He was great. I mean, almost won Honda too. And just his ball striking number, just like that, like a Justin Suh type, that fits like a Valspar. Accurate, good ball striker. Yeah. I think he was a little better around the green last week too, which is encouraging. That was a weak spot for his. So I like Justin Suh. What concerned about Ben Griffin is, so he has been getting by around the green. That's pretty much what he's been doing. Like, he is getting 10 strokes total around the green the last two tournaments. That is, listen, like, he's pretty good, but that's like, all right, like, when is Taylor Montgomery going to stop putting? Like, when is Ben Griffin going to stop getting up and down? His iron numbers I think he was, what did he do last week? I'll pull it up. I mean, he was slightly positive, but he lost a lot of Bay Hill, didn't gain all that much at Honda. Off the tee, he's pretty inaccurate. So I don't know if I love that profile for Valspar, especially, you know, like, it seems like, you know, he got on NBC. He was on the broadcast. Everyone was pumping up his story. Seems like a little bit of a letdown now.
Yeah, I can agree with that. Absolutely.
Okay. All right. So who else do you like in this range?
So let's pull it back up here. I lost my screen. Okay, there it is. I kind of want to play Taylor Moore, but I feel like that's just year long trickling in. When, you know, Clack's gonna be uber fucking chalky. I can't go to Woodland. I just can't.
Why not?
He's so bad putting, man. And like, he's a fucking Ponzi scheme. He's a Ponzi
scheme. I don't think he's putting on some good finishes lately.
Well, he won top 10 at Genesis. 42 at Phoenix, 62nd at Farmers, 54th last week, cut at API.
Okay. I mean,
his ball striking numbers look fucking amazing. But dude, what did he lose putting? Seven strokes putting last week. Seven. And then in his last, let's cut it from January 28th, right? So Farmers, Waste Management, Genesis, Arnold Palmer. His best putting week was his miscut at Arnold Palmer, where he basically lost a stroke and a half at Genesis, over five at Phoenix, and over five at Farmers. There's something wrong with his flat stick, man.
I mean, I'm not going to deny any of this. I guess if you want to do a silver lining, is that he lost five strokes at Phoenix and then only lost 1.4 at Riviera, and that was a top 10.
That's true. So he bounced back.
He just lost seven here. Maybe he's only going to lose two. True.
Listen, I have touted way worse theories. So yes, absolutely.
Yeah, I mean, look, like, former winner here, tough weather conditions. The fact he's so solid with his ball striking, he's drives it pretty well too. For like, you know, like Danny, you know, length accuracy. Finally, actually, was pretty good around the green last week. Maybe that continues as well. And then obviously, you know, good at Bay Hill, good at Honda, good here, good at Colonial. Like those types of tracks, like tough, like narrow. Kind of like that out of Gary Woodland. And I actually like Taylor Moore this week too.
Do you like him too? Okay.
Yeah. I mean, I ragged on the guy for a little bit, but he reminds me a lot of Sahith Tagala a little bit. Just really inconsistent. When he's really off, like, it looks horrible. Like RSM in one round, he lost like four strokes, like at Bay Hill. I mean, he was a top 40 finish. He lost like two strokes with his irons. Really ugly performance at Shriners. But when he's been good, like, he has some really, like, it seems like there's like one part of his game that's just like horrific every single week, but like three of it's really good. Yeah. And I feel like if you got like three really good things this week, like, that's going to be good enough for like a top 20 finish. So I kind of like Taylor Moore, and he's not really drawn any ownership. Like, everything's going to Ben Griffin basically at that point.
Yeah. What's funny is, so like, I have to go back and look. How many water balls did he have at API? Because he lost almost 10 strokes on approach and still came in 39th.
No idea. I mean, I think I had more that week.
Holy shit. Mm-hmm. Almost 10 strokes on approach, 9.4.
That's a lot. That is a lot.
And he's still T40'd.
Mm-hmm. What about, are you buying into Maverick McNealy's seven strokes putting last week and like a billion? Yeah, I'm not either. No. How about Brandon Wu? Are you buying into him?
I don't know. So I've heard his name kicked around a little bit on Twitter today. I haven't dug into him yet.
I'm probably passing because he gained seven strokes putting last week. So, I mean, his tee to green numbers have been better. Like, I mean, at Honda, he gained like almost 10 tee to green and then lost last week. So maybe that'll flip around. The fact he's kind of getting a little steam, though. Although, when I ask you, are you thinking about Dylan Wu or Brandon Wu? Because both of them are actually getting steam, I think.
Yeah, I know. And so, like, I know Dylan was the one that Andy played with in college. So I'm more familiar with him than I am Brandon, because I've deep-dived Dylan after Andy's brought him up to me. So that's what I mean. I just, I, I don't, was one of those guys I don't think I've ever seen swing a golf club. All of a sudden, he's starting to catch some steam. Two top 20s. Like, I get it. Like, seems to play well in Florida. Like, the numbers look good.
You've seen Brandon Wu swing a club because you were watching Mexico Open pretty close because you had Cam Champion. Brandon Wu was in the mix that week.
Oh, that's right.
So you've seen him before.
Fuck. Why? God, Cam Champ, another second place. Fuck Christ.
But yeah. I bet you didn't expect to go down the memory lane on this podcast. That's what I'm here for, though.
Thanks, bud.
I have a great memory of when all the times you've lost.
You really do. You really fucking do.
Well, because you're so emphatic about when you lose, too, that it just imprints in my brain.
I don't remember the wins. I remember the losses.
Exactly. Well, I do, too. You know, I think it's just our personalities. And then,
yeah.
All right. How about $7,000 range? Who do you like down here?
Let me ask you, this is where I got some questions on some guys.
Okay.
What's Victor Perez been doing?
Okay. So let me talk about Victor Perez, what he's good at. He's really good off the tee. Like, I would describe him as like Keith Mitchell, like long, accurate, really good. His iron play can be really up and down. It's streaky. Some weeks it's really good. Some weeks it's really bad. He is horrific around the green. Like a problem around the green. And he used to be really bad with his putter. I'm not sure if that's still a thing for him. Like, I remember I've been tracking Victor Perez for years. Like to pull out the curtain. So I have in my giant database, and only if you were ever like a threat to like come play one of these one-off like PGA Tour events or be in a major, I would actually track you on the European Tour, because I have to manually enter it in every time you do something. So Victor Perez is just kind of stuck around. Like, there's been Antoine Rosner that's come and gone. There's been a couple other guys that have kind of come and gone. Victor Perez is always, he was very close to getting shot, but then he won a tournament. So you got a new lease on life. Actually, he's putting a lot better lately. So it's really just around the green that's been a problem. And he's really up and down with the irons. So it's all driving and putting with him.
He won Abu Dhabi.
He did.
T28 in Dubai. T13 at the Raz Al Ghul
Challenge. Yes.
Yeah. Yes.
Now, unfortunately, though, he has not played in over a month.
Oh, was that a month ago already?
That was February 5th.
He's
been on vacation probably since then. Like, they played a lot of tournaments since then. They played in like Singapore. They played in Thailand. He just skipped all those.
He said, fuck all that shit.
Yeah.
I'm drinking my wine and eating my cheese and smoking my cigarettes.
Yeah,
France.
Probably going down to Monaco or something on a yacht. So,
am I misremembering this? Did Perez play in the match play last year?
So he played 2 years ago in match play.
He finished,
he was top 10 at the Players.
Yeah.
He had a nice little Florida run here.
Yeah.
And then we started getting at him like with some of the majors. I remember betting like Victor Perez over Rosner at a U.S. Open for low Frenchman. I think they tied at like plus 12.
Yeah.
Talk about a pillow fight.
Yeah.
So look, like that profile got, like, usually a lot of Europeans do pretty well at this type of golf course. It fits a lot of what they're looking for, but he hasn't played in a month, so I would be a little careful with that.
Okay. Fair enough. All right. And then you got Jaeger, who I always like to play.
I like Jaeger this week. What's funny about him is he's turned into like bizarre. Like, you know how Aaron Wise just turned into like all putting and no ball striking? Well, it seems, I think they just kind of, it's like a Freaky Friday situation, because now Steven Jaeger is all ball striking and no putting, which was not the case.
Yeah.
What's funny about him, though, so I mentioned TBC Potomac, he was sixth that week.
Really?
Yeah. So I actually kind of dig a Steven Jaeger this week. I mean, unless the ownership is crazy, but
no, it's not. It's not even close. So real quick, let's see who the chalky guys are real quick. So, I mean, he's over 10, but not by much. Nate Lashley. What are we doing, people? People, what are we doing? Fucking crazy.
I've been down Nate Lashley lane a lot, and it never ends.
Never ends well. It ends with a stranger with candy and you showing a police officer on the doll where he touched you.
So then, I wouldn't put it that way. I was going to make a drug reference, but sure.
Eric Cole. It's pretty spread out down here.
Yeah, I don't think there's people are really playing a whole lot of stuff.
Yeah, I mean, it would make sense.
Okay, all right. So, of these losers, I guess, who's your favorite loser?
So yeah, I'll just go back up above 7,500. I was intrigued by old Frenchie. I'll still probably play a little bit of him. I want to play. I'll definitely play Jaeger now that you told me about the sixth. I'll probably go back to Ludwig since you and Joe put me on him. I watched that video. He's somebody I'm going to lose a ton of money on over the next couple of years.
God, he's great.
Dude, he looked good at the Palmer, too. What did he do with the Palmer? What
stroke him and Pearson Cootie look pretty good at Palmer.
Oh, Pearson Cootie's another one.
Yeah.
That's our boy Cam's guy. Mm-hmm. Like, we bet him first round leader, just in case.
Okay.
I thought about Nick Taylor because he's been playing so good, and then I realized he hasn't been playing so good over the last two
weeks. Bubble minute burst on him. Maybe he got really probably got really depressed that his second place finish at Phoenix was the same as what Eric Cole got at Honda, and probably was like, you know what, I don't have any will to live anymore.
I think the payout was a little different though.
A little bit, but in terms of keeping your card, it was not.
What about Higo?
Oh God.
Yeah, I know.
He's playing good.
So he was playing real good up until he did something I'd never seen before when he shot it over 16, I think. And it was like on like where the people sit, like kind of like in between like the walkway and shit. But he lost two strokes putting. So, I mean, but his approach numbers in tee to green look okay.
I mean, T20 at Pebble, where he took the driver out of his hand. T20 at Honda.
Yeah. I think I can pass on him. Okay. And then under 75, Batia's gonna be chalk. I don't care what it shows right now.
Everybody's playing my season long because I think I have like three roster spots open. And by the way, update on Kevin Yu. By the way, underwent arthroscopic knee surgery. Apparently put it on his Instagram post. The news didn't break until last week. So no one was looking apparently at Kevin Yu's Instagram. He told everybody a month ago that he was going to miss time. So that's very sad because he was a cash cow for top 40s.
Sorry, buddy.
Yeah,
sorry,
hopefully Eddie Lack did not play Kevin Yu after we talked about that.
I don't know, Ben Martin. What do you think? Like, he didn't do well at the
Players. I like Ben Martin. He hit the ball okay.
Yeah, he hit the ball fine.
Played good at Honda. I mean, he's never really been very good here.
He ranks real good on these length par threes.
Yeah, 13th at Pebble, fifth at TPC Potomac back in 2017 when it wasn't rated.
Yeah, right.
But I mean, like when he was really good, like this is like 2015, like a 10th at Colonial, 4th at Players, 5th at Bayhill.
What happened to him again? What was his injury?
I don't know what the injury was. I mean, he lost it for a little bit, but I mean, he's playing good again. So I don't mind. I don't mind a guy that hits a lot of fairways and hit his irons pretty good and is putts pretty well in Bermuda and overseed, and his around the green numbers have been pretty good lately. I can get behind that.
Because I thought about cutting Ben Madden in our year long and picking up Griffin, and I was like, no, you know what, I like Madden better. And I was like, did I really say that out loud? So I'm not playing fucking EVR. Not never again.
I skipped. I couldn't believe he was $7,400. Like that. You know, we get misprices of guys who are way too low. That's got to be a misprice.
Yeah. Webb.
I don't
know. No, I'm not going to play Webb.
Can I make the case for Webb?
Yeah, sure, fine.
Here was my concerns about Webb was it seemed like the putter was gone. And he's gained putting the last two tournaments he's played. Now, his ball striking was horrific last week. But overall, since he's been kind of bad, like going back to last fall, the one thing that actually was good with his irons, it's still kind of there.
Yeah.
So if he's putting again and his irons are okay, now he's horrific off the tee now, but if we're taking driver out of the hands, I
don't hate it.
I don't mind taking a little bit on Webb this week.
Okay. All right. So I was thinking about Sam Ryder because he was playing so good leading up to the API. He made the cut last week, but he still lost an ungodly amount on approach. He's doing it all with his putter. So I'll pass on that. But I mean, Eric Cole, I mean, the only thing that worries me a little bit about that is I don't really know. Like, I mean, he lives down here. He plays down here. He grinded the mini tour down here. I mean, T15, T2 at Honda, missed the cut API, but T27 at the Players is pretty respectable for a $7,300 player who literally is like, what is he, 34-year-old rookie or whatever old he is? You know what I mean? So I don't hate it. I don't hate him. I'm not buying into Lingmuth after last week.
Why not? He's been playing good. Last week? He played good at Honda too.
Yeah, fine. I don't know.
So with him, you don't want me to make the case for Lingmuth?
Yeah, make the case. Yeah.
All right. So he played really good in the fall. Like he started out slow, played really good in the fall, and then it ended. And then he played really poorly coming out, and now he's been playing really good lately. So
yeah, maybe it just takes a little while to get in gear. Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, like, the guy won Memorial one time. He finished second back in players in 2015. He lost to Duffner at Stadium Course one time. Like, the guy was pretty good at one point, and then injuries.
Yeah, I know. He's might pull it up. There was something I looked at where I was like, nope. Oh, okay. Is around the green has just been real bad the last couple of weeks.
Listen, everybody's stuff is bad around, you know, something's going to be bad on a lot of these guys.
Yeah. Okay. I can't play them all, homie. Can't play them all.
All right. How about Tyler Duncan?
I'd rather play Hickok.
Okay. Hey, Hickok was that was a pretty good pull by Ryan Kramer, our boss. Tyler Duncan hit his irons pretty good last week. Third at Honda. You go back to last year, some of these other golfers, like 15th at Colonial. 12th at Harbortown, 25th at Valspar.
Okay.
39th at Valspar back in 2021.
All right.
These types of tracks seems like it's a Tyler Duncan track. So I don't really mind
if there is such a thing.
I mean, RSM clearly.
Yeah.
So
he missed the cut last time with the RSM, I think.
Okay. Well, he's won it before. Right. He beat Webb in that playoff there.
Oh, God. That's right.
I know. There's been a lot of real long shots that like screwed a lot of like chalky like outrights with that thing. Yeah. All right. $6,000 range. How about your boy Zach Johnson?
I mean, this should be a good course for him.
It is a good course for him.
Wait. I wanted to ask you about
very good here.
I wanted to ask you about Harry Hall.
What about here? What about poor man's Bryson? Literally, it's like the PGA Tour, like. Just told this guy, look, you got to dress like Bryson because we need that guy. We need that social media hit.
I feel like he's like a soccer hooligan. I feel like he's not copying Bryson. He just has scally caps. I think Bryson is the poser.
I mean, what do you like about Harry Hall?
I don't know. I saw him and I just remember getting angry at him. That one, all it takes to get on my radar is for you to threaten a first round leader.
So he's a big hitter who can putt really well, can't do anything else well, can't find fairways, doesn't hit an iron.
You don't have to be long at Puerto Rico.
You know that is a bad take. You gotta be long at Puerto Rico. Yes, that's past.
What am I thinking?
That's past Palom. You gotta be long on past Palom, sir.
Yeah, you're right. Which one? What little short course am I thinking about? That's what's his nuts one?
Shriners?
Damon down in
Corrales. That's also past Palom. It's 7,600 yards.
No, that's not the one I'm thinking of. I don't know. It doesn't fuck. Oh, what's the Putacana?
That's Corrales.
Is it? Is that long?
Yes. Yeah, it's Dominican Republic, man.
Yeah. Oh, I know where Putacana is. I didn't think it was long though.
7,600 yard past Palom is usually a bomber's paradise.
How the hell did Damon win that thing?
I don't know, because Joel Damon's probably better than everybody else in that field. I mean, you got, like, I don't know, Tommy Gainey and, like, Robert Gamez plays that thing.
Yeah.
John Cook usually plays that thing. He gets out of the announcer's booth and goes down. Yeah. Half that field is guys who are collecting pensions from the PGA Tour. That's why he won. That's
fucking fair. All right, fine.
It's a resort course. He's probably drunk during most of it. He's probably in his happy place.
Yeah, that's fine. I'll just move on from him then, because I don't know much about him. Harry Higgs, fucking somehow is.
Are you
somehow,
right?
No. I'm just saying he also T7 at Puerto Rico, so that tells me all I need to know about how much weight I need to put into the T7 at fucking Puerto Rico.
Okay.
What about Hadley?
I don't mind Hadley. He's been playing all right lately.
He's been playing okay.
Yeah.
Matt Wallace.
I kind of dig Matt Wallace this week.
Yeah. What's funny though is like, I mean, you watch that ESPN Plus coverage. The guys were like, "This is somebody who's got the mental attitude for it. He's gonna win out here." I'm like, I'm pretty sure Matt Wallace is like fucking 34. Like, he's not a young like English guy like on the up. Like, let's
no, he is not. I think his window closed after Spieth ripped his heart out of Valero.
Forgot about that too.
Yeah. I don't mind Wallace. Smotherman made a cut last week. He's been good at Valspar.
He did. What about Scam Champ? He's got to get ready to T20 the fucking to Masters because you know what's happening.
I mean, he's got Valero to tune up for that.
Okay, fair enough. I will be playing him leading up to the Masters.
I mean, legitimately, Dylan Wu has been good, but he seems like he's drawn a lot of ownership. That's the guy who's been battered around this week. But, he's been getting tee to green his last three events. That's a guy who's been playing well.
Yeah.
Other than that, I don't really have much else down here.
There was somebody else that I wanted to ask you about down here.
I mean, MJ
Defoe. What about Ryan Moore, man?
No.
This seems like this is a Moore course, right?
So he had a really good finish at Pebble. It's sandwiched between three missed cuts.
Yeah.
I mean, that dude, I think it might be just...
I mean, he's, yeah, I'm just saying.
Okay.
Dougie Gim, Jim Hahn, Justin Lauer. Oh, my God. Dude, this fucking season.
Yeah. Yeah, pick a couple guys you like, and then that'll be about it.
Chez Reavie. Wow. 6,400 Chez Reavie.
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
How about we didn't mention him. How about $7,000 Kevin Kisner? That's the guy I was talking about before.
Why is he $7,000?
Because he's been horrific. Have he been the same?
No, he should be lower than $7,000.
Because it's still Kevin Kisner. But
he's supposed to be on the Ryder Cup team, Steve. What are you talking
about? Listen, he made the cut last week. He was 75th. He's just like Cam Davis. We called it on this show. He missed the cut in the number. He was close. Yep. Kevin Kisner finally made a cut. We got match play coming up next week. Gotta get his reps in.
He was on Twitter saying, who's going to help take me hunting or something like that. The only thing I need to borrow is like camo, a gun, ammunition. So he's moving to, his concern on going to Tampa was where he was going to go hunt. So, pretty sure I'm not going to. I'm going to bet against him because as soon as I do that, he fucking turns into the old
guy. Don't they got some wild boars running around Florida?
Fuck yeah, dude. Dude, Florida's crazy.
All right, send him down to the Everglades.
We got, dude, Everglades, man. You get some crazy shit out of there. Pythons, fucking Panthers. Anacondas.
Ugh. Anacondas? There's anacondas in Florida?
Nah, I don't think so.
Nah, probably just the Burmese.
Just giant pythons.
Yeah, the pythons that people just let loose that were in their fish tanks for a while. And
yeah, exactly.
Now they're killing all the wildlife. Good job, guys.
Fun stuff.
Yep. All right. we're at an hour. Do you want to talk about the schedule stuff or? Okay. All right. So gambling portion's done.
Yeah.
If you want to turn off the podcast, go turn it off. We're going to talk about the schedule stuff now. So because we haven't gotten our take yet. I mean, we're going to put this back in the microwave.
Yeah.
So a summary of what happens if you guys forgot. Basically, these are all, there's going to be eight elevated events. They're only 70 man. No cuts.
Yep.
They also have a component of basically you can play your way in with the non-elevated events based on some sort of convoluted point system that they haven't determined yet. Top 50 at the BMW is guaranteed entry into these elevated events the following year.
Yep.
So
you get 20 spots, 8 no-cut events. This is terrible. All these fucking people who are shitting on Liv about a no-cut event and how it doesn't mean anything. And what's Liv got? 48, 52 guys? What's the fucking difference? Like, it takes all the drama out. Like, it's Rory talking out of both sides of his mouth. People don't watch golf to see me make bogeys. Bull fucking shit, dude. I want to see you. I would like Jordan Spieth grinding for the cut this week. You know what I mean? Like, that's exciting golf. Like, a stud to grind to make the cut to play the fucking weekend, man. That's the allure of golf. It lets guys like Eric Cole be on the stage and lose in a fucking playoff, a 34-year-old rookie. Like, that's what the casuals want. Dude, that's what I want half the time when my bets are dead. I want entertainment. I want drama. No cut events can go fuck themselves.
All right, so is there anything good you like about it?
No.
Okay. There are some things I like about it. I like the fact that it's going to make the WGC FedEx matter. Like, now there's actually, I think, consequences. Like, I don't care about really the FedEx Cup playoffs. It means nothing to me. But the fact that I think now getting inside that top 50 at that event or just in general with the standings actually kind of means something. Because that's significant.
Yeah, yeah.
For the next year. Like, you're basically are golden for that entire year.
Yeah.
So So I kind of like that. I kind of like the fact, I mean, listen, you're going to roll your eyes because I'm going to bring up soccer. Because originally I didn't like this. I didn't like the fact that we're going to have 50 guys basically just get a meal ticket the entire, you know, next season, get paid a bunch of money, even if they come in like 60th. But I was thinking about it kind of like the Premier League, where there is relegation. And
that's the best thing about soccer. That is the best. Every sport should have relegation.
Well, this kind of has relegation, you know, to it. Like if you're in your top 50, you're going to enjoy that for the year. You earned it. And then if you don't make the cut, you go back down a level, and then you got to play the non-elevated events, and you got to play in the fall maybe. So I don't mind that.
I don't mind it in theory, but if there's only 20 spots a year, that means 30 guys, the top 30 guys are like,
No. You got to be staying in that top 50. So if you're in the top 50 at the end of the season, then you get to be in the next one. Then you can fall out of that top 50, and then you're not in that status anymore.
But so you can fall out of it during the year?
No, you can't. It's the falling. Basically,
that's what I'm saying. There's only 20 spots.
Well, that's why it's like the champions. It's not like it's not 20 spots.
There's 70 golfers, right?
Okay.
And if 50 are guaranteed.
But you're not guaranteed to be in that 70 if you fall out of the top 50.
I was like, I'm fucking confused. So the fifth. So all right. So the year 2023, I finished 25th, but by April 2024, I've played like shit, and I don't know, fucking. It's in the same calendar year.
You're 82nd, right?
Right. Yeah. Yeah.
Because you were top 50 last year, you remain in that top 50 for every single elevated event. But if you are not in the top 50 at the end of 2024, you're out.
You're out.
Okay, that's the relegation point.
Right. So that means there's only really 20 spots a year.
No. Technically, all 50 spots are available every single year.
Yeah, I guess.
Okay. So the 20 spots, though, I actually kind of like that, too. So I think there should be more of it. But I'm thinking back, like, I don't think they do this anymore. But remember when, like, Bay Hill or, like, John Deere, like, they had the Open Championship qualifier where, like, you actually are tracking a guy. And he's got to make this putt to finish inside the top 10.
Yeah.
That kind of means something now. So these, and it's another wrinkle to some of these events.
That's
fine. So I kind of like that. I wish there was more. Now, what I don't like that it's only 70 guys. I don't understand why it can't be 100 and we cut to 60.
Right.
Or 50. Like,
it's just a made up number.
I'm not going to like the fact if this is Phoenix Open and it's 70 guys. I think that kind of stinks.
Yeah, it blows.
Or like in Memorial or Riviera. Because like I used to not be like, all right, the cut, whatever. I don't really care about it. But like now that like I gamble a lot more and like the stuff matters. And like I can only imagine, I think, all right. So from two sides of the coin, for bettors who just bet like positionals, this helps you because now that there's no cut, your positional is live the entire weekend and there's a chance to make it up. For DFS, you got to hate it because the whole point is like, all right, I got a 6 of 6. That's a golden ticket to me making a bunch of money and it's just going to make it a lot more tilting, I feel like, for a lot of those players. So I don't think it's very good for that angle, but overall, I mean, it's not perfect. They're probably going to figure out a way to bungle it. Now, what they did do, though, they did end up deciding that these non-elevated events are going to have less FedEx Cup points given to them than the elevated ones, which, thank fucking God, they've decided to do that. I've been calling for that for years.
Isn't that going to help the guys at the top 50 stay in the top 50?
Well, I think it's going to be weighted a little more at the top, and then it's probably going to just taper down. You know, if you're still finishing last, like it's not going to be that much different between like finishing, like making the cut at like a Honda or something like that.
Gotcha.
But like if you finish second at this elevated event, you're going to get like 200 or 300 more points than you would like finish second at Honda. That makes a ton of sense. Yeah, not sure why they ever, I know why they did, because they wanted to cater to sponsors. But now the fact that the sponsors, like, all right, a couple of years, you're going to have this elevated event, you know, every other three years, it's not.
Right.
They're throwing them a bone there. So finally, they're going to do that. Hopefully, they also decide, too, that if you finish like 60th or worse, you don't get paid or you don't get FedEx Cup points. I think that would be only fair. But I don't know. It remains to be seen. They still haven't really announced what this fall is going to look like other than the events, like how that's going to work.
Yeah.
I don't know. I don't even know if they really, I don't know if they've even thought about it, to be honest, ever since.
They haven't. I mean, you think they've actually put thought into this shit? No. Like, do they really, what they really should do. So I am excited to see the mixed event with the females and the males. Like, that's going to be fucking cool. Curious to see. Yeah, dude, I am. Like, I think that's cool. It's something new. And like, it's whatever. It's something new. That's why I like match play. Like, give me something different. Like, so I'm excited for that. I guess it's like, you know, I see like Twitter clips of Nelly and things like that, but I've never actually seen her play around. You know, I don't watch LPGA. Like, just don't.
I guess at that point with like golf, I'm kind of just checked out. And then
yeah, maybe. Yeah.
I'm not, I never really pay attention to the QBE, but I don't know, maybe I'll tune in now.
Yeah. Yeah, I just think it's a cool idea. As a dad with a daughter who's picking up golf, maybe that's why I'm more interested. Maybe. Right? So but yeah, I think the no cut sucks. I just fucking, I hate it. And it really irritates me with Rory talking about how it's good after you just railed against fucking 54 holes and fucking no cut and guaranteed money and all this other shit that everybody on the other side of the live argument fucking cried and moaned and screamed about. It's not real golf. And now they're like, oh no, it's fine. It's fine. Everything's fine. Like it's just the hypocrisy of it. Just, I don't know, irritating.
Well, I've seen people try and say that this thing is not a WGC and it's a WGC. Like it's just different qualifications into it. Like in order to make a WGC, you had to be inside the world rankings.
Right.
And in this, you have to be inside either FedEx Cup standings or there's probably like eight guys that can play their way in.
Yeah.
So it's a WGC.
I just think the whole thing's Moynihan's a fucking not Moynihan. What the hell's his name? Why can't I think of his name?
Jay Monahan.
His old boss is Moynihan, who's also a fucking idiot. But Monahan's a fucking moron. And yeah, we need to get somebody to in there. He's terrible.
They probably do. And one other point about that too, like, I mean, the WGC's fail because you're basically creating tournaments and drama. Like, no offense to the 3M or Rocket Mortgage or even Pebble Beach now, or like the Valero or something. Like, yeah. No one cares about those events. Nope. Like I could probably ask who won the last 5 Valero Texas Opens and probably 95% of you can't name them. Like they don't matter. Like, like people have been trying to say, oh, they're not the WGCs because these events have history. They're rewriting history. Number one, number two, like only us care about these events.
Yeah. Agreed.
95% of other people watch golf do not.
Nope.
So
not everybody's watching fucking 12 hours of golf coverage on Thursday and Friday.
No, I mean, like, we're trying to do a podcast with the Valspar during March Madness week, for God's sakes.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, these
downloads should be great.
actually the downloads are pretty good. So nice. Thank you for keep listening and supporting us.
Thanks, boys.
I think a lot of people are actually taking this week off, which is actually a bit of a boost for us.
Yeah, I think Andy took the week off. I don't know if anybody else did. My brain's fucking completely fried. So,
okay. I've been pulling you along during this podcast. You got anything else, man?
I appreciate it. I do not. I got a good night's sleep last night and everything. Fucking, I don't know.
That's good.
The fucking day, the rain, the staring at the fucking computer screens. And just, yeah, fun day. Anywho,
hey.
Yeah, fucking got the betting show tomorrow night. I'll be more amped up for that one. Yeah, that's my favorite part. So yeah, betting show tomorrow night. Just me and you, honey. No guests. So that's it. Yeah, other than that, you guys know where to find Steve in our Discord channel. Chopping up with those guys in there. You can find me on Twitter @Boston_Capper. And yeah, let's fucking go.